Well, thank you so much to everyone that's taken part so far this evening, especially to the two young guys who are great up front, and we're going to have to get you up again. But it's been great to hear from Oliver and Samuel tonight, especially some of the questions that they have helpfully answered tonight, because I think the biggest question anybody who will ever live in this world will have to answer is this: what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? You see, I believe it's impossible to be right with God and wrong about Jesus. As Oliver and Samuel have talked about being in Bangor Grammar and in Regent House, there can be a bit of tension between those two schools at times. But it seems to be the same struggle, that there are many boys and girls. I think there's girls who go to Regent. And as an ex-Bangor Grammar man, there weren't many girls that went to Bangor Grammar. But they will have the same questions. Who is this Jesus? And some of them come to the position where they say, we're atheists. We simply believe that Jesus may have been a moral teacher, but he definitely wasn't God. In fact, we believe there is no God. So whether you're a teenager, whether you're a young adult, whether you're in your midlife, whether you're in your mature life, the biggest question you'll have to answer in your whole life is this: what will you do with Jesus? Because I believe tonight it's impossible to be right with God and wrong about Jesus. There's a man in the Bible called Peter. He used to be a fisherman. And he used to think that he was right with God. He was a Jew. He followed all the religious rules and regulations of being a Jew. He was a devout follower and he was a fisherman. And one day Jesus came to Peter and he was fishing by the lake of Gennesaret, and then he came in from the lake and he decided that he was going to follow Jesus. In Luke chapter 5 verse 11 it says that after seeing all that Jesus had done that night, after seeing the miraculous catch of fish, the text says he left everything and followed Jesus. He left everything and followed Jesus because it's impossible to be right with God and wrong about Jesus. Peter, as some of you know the story, some of you have never heard it before, he actually sinned dreadfully against God. He thought that his relationship with God was broken. And it's amazing, we see in the end of the Gospels in John 21 that Jesus came back to Peter and restored him. Because Jesus himself knew to be right with God, you have to be in a right relationship with Jesus. And so for a few minutes tonight, I want to ask you this question: who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think Jesus is? Because on your last moment on this earth, you will have to have answered this question through your whole life: how can I be right with God? Because I can't be right with God and be wrong about Jesus. And Peter one day was preaching in Acts chapter 2. There was an amazing crowd that had gathered in what we might refer to as the public square, just below where the disciples had received the power of the Holy Spirit. And there were many people in Jerusalem who were asking this question: who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And so you come asking that question tonight as somebody that does not know him. So entertain me for a few moments ago on this journey. Who is Jesus? Firstly, listen to what this man, Peter, who left everything to follow Jesus, said about him. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and it should appear on the screen behind me. This is what Peter said about Jesus. He said that Jesus was the crucified one. He said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man. He was accredited by God to you by miracles, by wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." This is amazing. The people know that in that upper room there's something supernatural going on, but they don't know quite what it is. And so the inquirers are packed in the street below, and Peter emerges maybe over a balcony. And he says, "You really want to know who Jesus is? I want to tell you, he is the crucified one." Not many days before this particular account, Jesus was crucified on what we know as Good Friday. He was nailed to a cross. Peter says, Jesus is the crucified one. In fact, many of you handed Jesus over to be crucified. One day when he marched into town on Palm Sunday, you said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You worship Jesus with your mouths, but not with your hearts. By the Friday, you cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." So the question tonight is, who is Jesus? And how can I be right with God? You need to acknowledge he's the crucified one. And when Oliver and Samuel take their steps down into this very cold tank, when they stand with us and when we say that we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when they go down under the water, they are saying, we know who Jesus is. We believe he was the crucified one. And so when we put them under the water, they're identifying with Jesus and his crucifixion. They believe, and I would ask you to believe tonight, Jesus was indeed the crucified one. But who else was he? He was the resurrected one. Listen to what Peter says, verse 24. But God raised him, being Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. This is very interesting. Peter was teaching the crowd who were gathered in the public square, and we who sit here tonight, he's saying Jesus was definitely crucified. Jesus was dead. But he also said the patriarch David, whom the Jewish people loved, he said, if you're going to take a journey from where we are in Jerusalem and you go down that road, you will find that David was dead and buried. You're going to find his bones down there. But will you find Jesus' bones? Was Jesus just an ordinary man? Some people say that in our schools and our universities and our work. He was just an ordinary man. No, listen to what Peter said. Verse 30, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. But God, listen to this, has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. This is amazing. Peter was an eyewitness. Peter said, I knew that Jesus was crucified. Even though I ran away from him, I know he's the crucified one. But I also know with certainty that he's the resurrected one. You see, we'll only keep Oliver and Samuel under the water momentarily. And we will eventually bring them up out of the water. Why? Because we want to preserve their life. But we also want to symbolize something, because they're going to symbolize that they believe Jesus is the crucified one. They're going to symbolize when they go under the water that he was dead and buried. But when they come up out of the water, they want each one of you to know that they believe Jesus Christ was not just the crucified one. He was not just the one who was buried. But on the third day, he was raised again. God the Father raised Jesus to life on the third day. This is Jesus. This is the real Jesus. But Peter wants us to know something else. You might say, okay, I accept that Jesus was a crucified one. I accept he was the resurrected one. But where is Jesus now? Listen to what Peter said about him. Thirdly, he's the exalted one. Verse 33. He's exalted to the right hand of God, and he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet it said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's the exalted one. It's the crucified one. He's the resurrected one. He's the exalted one. But perhaps the most important and last one. Who is Jesus? Because if we are going to be right with God tonight, we can't be wrong about Jesus. There's something else that he does. He's the saving one. He's the saving one. Listen to what verse 37 says. This is Peter's sermon. When the people heard this, many of them had never heard of Jesus before. They may have heard some things about him, but to actually hear what he had come to do might have been coming to their ears for the very first time. And maybe it's coming to you for the first time. And so the crowd in the public square respond, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut. They were stabbed. They were broken down deep in their hearts. And they said to Peter and to the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" You say tonight, how can I have a new life? You say, how can I become a Christian? You say, how can I follow in the footsteps of Oliver and Samuel, who follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, who follows in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, how can I experience this new life? That's what the crowd asked. They said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, and it still applies to us today, "Repent." Repent from what? Repent from your life of sin. Repent of your rebellion against a holy and perfect God. Repent. And what? And be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What do you need to do tonight? The Bible says, repent, every one of you. Turn from your life of rebellion. Peter, who was leading his own life, Peter, who was going his own way, Peter, who thought he can save himself by keeping all the rules. And then he met Jesus, and he realized that when Jesus spoke those words in John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one," you might try, "but no one can come to the Father." Because you see, you can't be right with God the Father and wrong about Jesus. No one can come to the Father except through me. And so Jesus tonight, like he did with the crowds in Jerusalem on that Pentecostal sermon, he reaches out his arms tonight and says, "Come. Come to me." Just like a prodigal son or daughter, he says, "Come to me and experience forgiveness of your sins." Who is Jesus? He's the crucified one. He's the resurrected one. He's the exalted one. But perhaps most importantly, he's the one who alone can rescue, the one who alone can save. Let me pray for you. Then we're going to sing again. And after we sing again, we're going to go down into the water of baptism. And Oliver and Samuel are going to symbolize their love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us, in that while we were still yet sinners, you sent the Lord Jesus Christ for us. We thank you, our Father, that in a way that mystifies us, you sent your one and your only Son into the world, and you sent him with a plan and with a purpose, that he would live in this world, that he would have a ministry of 3 years towards the end of his life, and that the pinnacle of his ministry would come when he would give up his life on the cross, that he would be dead and buried on that Easter Saturday, and that on that Easter Sunday, that you, our great God and Father, raised your Son from the dead. And we thank you, our Father, because you were faithful to raise your own Son from the dead, that we can have confidence that if we place our trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we repent of our sin and our rebellion against you, O Holy God, that you will be faithful to raise us up on our last day. We thank you, our Father, for your Son's ministry, that he could say that he was the only way to you, that he would say that he was the resurrection and the life, that whoever would believe in him would experience everlasting life. So we pray now as we continue to sing, that as we sing these wonderful words of truth about who you are and your saving love, we pray that anyone who is here that has drifted from you might come afresh to you this evening. That there are people here tonight, Father, who haven't experienced the amazing, transforming love of your Son, that maybe even tonight for the first time, they indeed might see Jesus for who he really is. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.